sin to death on a cross. We thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being born to save us. So, Lord, speak now because we're listening. Speak a word of hope and a word of peace and word of joy as we look towards the story that is defined by love. Love came down at Christmas. We thank you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. Amen. And as I begin my preach moment, I really want to thank they're downstairs now, all the parents who have come to bring their children, certainly to Dana, who has worked and we put this together and got it together, and the rehearsal, and Deanna, who was with her, and all the other parents who have come to the rehearsal and bring their children. You all know who you are, right? And came out even in the rain to bring the kids so we could rehearse them. And to little Megan, who we were worried last night, she was a little bit nervous, and today she played. She's only 11, I guess, huh? And today she played that little song and did it well, and we were so concerned. We didn't want to sing with her to throw her off, but she did a marvelous job, didn't they? Yes, our children did a marvelous job. And to the parents, to all of them, it takes a team, takes a Christian village to bring forth this work. And last night, we didn't know it was going to be this lovely this morning because we couldn't find some of them during the... They were all just keeping them quiet. But they showed up and did a wonderful job. And to Terrell, who came out, and what a marvelous... It has touched my heart and brought tears to my eyes. It has been a big, busy week because even St. Nicholas showed up on Friday night, and then Saturday was the rehearsal, the second rehearsal, third or fourth rehearsal. So thanks be to God for that. And certainly my sermon title today is Joy on Earth and Joy in Heaven. And today's the third Sunday of Advent, and we do the roast candle as we celebrate joy. Right, we have our hope in Christ, and now we have our peace that surpasses all understanding, and now we have joy in Christ, as we want to tell the story through the visual, so you could see the glory of God. And there's a song that we sing: joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with light of day. Joyful, joyful that we rejoice this day at the coming of the Christ child. And what is joy? Joy is said to be the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. We believe we experience joy. And to rejoice is to feel joy or great delight. Now Mary's beautiful song of praise is commonly called the Magnificat, from the Latin for magnify. And Mary magnifies the Lord, proclaiming God's greatness and rejoicing in God as Savior. She begins with God's actions in her own life for in choosing her to be mother of the Messiah. The Mighty One has indeed done great things for us, Mary says. Elizabeth has just welcomed and honored her, saying, blessed is she who believed. And now she recognizes with awe that not only Elizabeth, but all generations will call her blessed. Now we read this in those lines of the scripture. But let's look at the modern day context. In our culture, hashtag blessed has become this thing, this meme, and feeling blessed. You see, feeling blessed makes regular appearance in Facebook posts. People say, so I'm feeling blessed. People tweet images or post pictures of themselves enjoying a delicious meal or an exotic vacation or shopping spree. at their favorite store. And you say, how you doing? And they says, I'm blessed. Blessed them. Just blessed is a, we may not say it here, but lots of folks say that, Christian folks. Blessed has become, come to mean living a life of privilege and comfort. Right? Normally when things are going well, we say we are what? Blessed. Using the term has become a way of celebrating those moments when everything is going well and all seems right with the world, or at least one's little corner of it. But the blessedness that Mary celebrates stands in stark contrast to our culture's attitude. By our standards, she does not look at all as being blessed. God has chosen her to be the mother of the Messiah. But in practical terms, what does that mean for her? She's not from a family that can afford expensive food or clothing. She's a nobody, so to speak, a peasant girl from a small village. Her friends and neighbors see her as a disgrace because she is unmarried and pregnant. See, you could see Joseph's initial reaction to her pregnancy, and you see that in Matthew 1:19. Furthermore, as she will soon learn from Simeon, if she hasn't perceived it already, being the mother of the Messiah is scarcely an unmixed blessing. Because, as we will read in the scripture, she will bear the unspeakable grief of watching as her son is rejected, shamed, and crucified. This child is destined for falling and rising of many in Israel, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. We read in Luke 2. And so despite this wonderful story, Mary, probably if Mary was here, knowing all the background of the culture she's in, she probably would not have said, I'm blessed. Right? She's pregnant and not married, and folks are going to be talking about her. And if you ask her what our understanding of blessed be, she probably wouldn't say, I'm blessed. She would probably say, I don't know what's going to happen, but the Lord has chosen me. And so we see this in the text. But when we look at the big picture, we see Mary said, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And now here's what's important in this text. The mighty one has done great things, not just for Mary, but it would be for all of us. Right? She would be chosen to bring forth the Messiah. Right? But the Mighty One was doing great things for us. And she will go on to explain, she says, his mercy is for the throne, for those who fear him from generations to generations. They had been praying for this Messiah to come, praying over and over for years, generations, for this Messiah to come. And then here would be Angel Gabriel showing up and telling this virgin girl that she would bear the Messiah. So that moment would come with blessing and come with what? Anxiety for her, for Mary. But Mary was thinking beyond her own self. And she says, according at the end, she says, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his promise, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. So it would be the fulfillment of the promise was about to happen. The fulfillment of this promise that the Messiah would come. And so one would say this would be what? Joy on earth. Right? Something was going to happen, as we know, on earth that would bring joy to the nation of Israel and joy to all people. Because the promised one who would save the world would be born through Mary. And so we know that one could imagine that Mary would have anxiety of the unknown. Because she lived in a culture that if you were a woman pregnant and unmarried, you could be stoned. Because many folks did not believe necessarily that Mary was carrying the Messiah. She had no proof. She had no mark. The angel Gabriel did not go and speak to everybody in the village. Even Joseph was concerned and didn't believe. So there would have been anxiety of the unknown for Mary. Anxiety. Also, here's the next point. Mary would be accepting her call without knowing the fulfillment of what might happen. Because she would say to Angel Gabriel, let it be unto me. If it's from the Lord, then let it be unto me. By the time we get to verse 38, after more dialogue with the angel, she says, may it be to me as you have said. Let's call, you know, she's saying, whatever it is, whatever my destination is, if God has said it, let it be on to me. God has called. You see, when God calls us into relationship with him, we have become Christians and believers. Doesn't mean that our life is pain and grief is absent from our lives. It doesn't. No, but we follow God anyhow. We choose to follow God even though we may still have pain and grief and suffering and death and sickness. We still follow God. And as I think about that, we have a woman called Michelle Sanchez. She is a lay person in our district. And she has been very forthright and very determined and helpful in getting lay speakers, lay servants. She works diligently in getting that going. And so in our district, we have had a lot of lay servants now, and she works hard at it, and she gets involved, and we have times of education. And yesterday we were on a phone call, all of us who are on the ministry committee for the district. And while she was explaining to us, she was telling us about the classes that starts in February and how many lay speakers there were in that conversation. Her voice broke, and she said to us, I want you all to pray for me because I've been diagnosed with throat cancer. We were all on the phone. We were on Zoom, and some of us were on our cell phone. I couldn't breathe for a moment, not just because you haven't heard those things. She says, I've gone to many doctors, and they said it's throat cancer, whatever it is. She's going to be getting chemo every day for 2 months. Right? To get that. And after she finished, and she said she's been telling people, and people have been praying for her. Of course, we were praying. I had to say to them, I said to the DS, we need to pray right now. You know, we need to pray on the phone, pray at the moment. And we will certainly pray and support her. And as by the time she finishes that, and she says it's going to be several hard months, but God is with me, she went right into the next thing after she took that moment. You could hear her voice filled up, and she began to lay out her plan for getting the work done. She, as if she said, this is what I have, and this is what's going to happen. I'm going to need you all to pray. And by the time she caught her breath, she went to the next sentence. The lay courses have to go on. We'll get some help from other people. Does it dictate to any of us? I did send the DS a text later in the evening. And I said, I have her number. We will reach out to her. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings. What it holds for any of us, we don't know, do we? No. Yet we continue to serve God. Right? Mary had anxiety. We have anxieties when we go to the Lord, when we accept Christ, and then we go to a doctor and we hear. We have our own anxiety and but we continue to serve God. And this is really what Mary did. She had her own anxiety. And therefore, I would imagine that Mary must have said as she accepted, she accepted this call joyously. She said, she must have said in her mind, I would imagine, if it's God, then let it be. Right? The text doesn't say it, but she said it differently. If it's God, then let it be. Let it be if it's coming from God, because what? God is going to bring us through. If it's from God, God, you have your own way. Because God is going to have God's own way. But God, don't leave me in this. So Mary went from anxiety to acceptance. She accepted it, and so must we. So we see that joy unfolding in the text, that joy on earth. But friends, there is, as we're reading the Gospel of Luke, you remember you're reading the Gospel of Luke, right? I gave you from 15 to whatever number. I gave you the next set. This is the third week. It's in your bulletins. You'll see in 15, the scripture tells us about another kind of joy, right? There is a physical joy that we have here. Today we saw the kids, and they performed this beautiful play, and that was that was physical joy for us, wasn't it? It was exciting, they did well, and we could see and touch the joy. But in that 15 text that we read in the Gospel of Luke, there's another joy in heaven that is everlasting for you and me. Because we're reminded, Jesus would say in Luke, that if one sheep is lost, one sheep, that shepherd will go looking for that sheep until he or she finds that sheep. Will not stop looking for that sheep. That is joy for us now in our context. Because the Messiah is already born. He tells a story as he tells us the tax collectors and the Pharisees. He tells a story and he says, I wish one of you having 100 sheep and losing one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. When he has found it, he says, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need repentance. That's our context, right? When one of us accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we've been praying for our children or our loved ones who have turned away from God, right? When we have been praying for those who are unsaved, who will not go to church or do not believe, and we continue to pray and seek God, God will keep looking the shepherd image of God through Jesus Christ, will continue to keep looking until that one lost loved one, family member is found. And scripture tells us when that happens, the shepherd will take this lost sheep, bring this lost sheep home, and there is joy in heaven. Heaven rejoices not because of the wealth we have, or how good we look. The heaven rejoices because the one sheep has been found. That's hope for you and me, isn't it? That's hope for some of our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors and people who are yet to know the Lord, that there'll be joy in heaven. Can you see when one young person, one older person say yes to serving Jesus Christ? Can you see the entire heavenly realm rejoicing in knowing that knowing that this one person has been found? And so our hope is today, as we think of joy, I always say for those I'm praying for that I know in my family who are unsaved, as I pray for them, and when one accepts Christ, I know there's joy in heaven. And if they don't, I keep praying. Because my belief is that the Lord will continue to seek and search for them. And there'll be joy in heaven when one sinner is saved. Thanks be to God for God's faithfulness. So as we rejoice in joy today, remember that there's joy in heaven because we are all saved. I would hope that we who are sitting under the sound of my voice are all saved, have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I've said yes to Him. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I desire to follow you. You are Lord and Savior. And when that happens, there is joy in heaven. Amen.